In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the Feast of Christ the King. I found out that in some denominations it is now starting to be called the Reign of Christ Sunday rather than Christ the King Sunday. Hymns we will sing later as part of our hymnal have some of the best explanations of the idea of Jesus Christ as King. We proclaim that he is enthroned and reigning, as it said in the Nicene Creed, at the right hand of the Father. Words like king, kingdom, and kingship may sound far away in both time and place from our democratic societies. Perhaps they sound patriarchal, or even sexist, or classicist, and uncomfortably reminiscent of a time when the church was closely allied to secular powers of the world, entwined with systems that produced horrors like slavery, violence fueled by anti-Semitism, and the execution of heretics and medicine women who were perceived to be witches. Now, you all know that the Episcopal Church is the first daughter church of the Church of England, also known as the Anglican Church. Our forebears, unlike the Pilgrims and Puritans, were never dissenters from the established church, of which the reigning English monarch was also the head of the church and defender of the faith. Even today, Elizabeth II continues to hold this title, first given to her forebearer Henry VIII in the 16th century. After the American Revolution, Anglicans in the 13 colonies eventually organized the Episcopal Church, since as citizens of a new country, allegiance to the crown was not feasible. However, it is possible, even as we acknowledge the regrettable historical manifestations of human kingship and monarchy, to celebrate on this Sunday the great themes of God's sovereignty in our lives and in the life of the world that God loves. There's a custom found in many countries, including our own, that whenever the head of state, president, king, or queen, emperor or ruling leader is in residence, a flag is flown over the official house to announce that she or he is there. St. Julian of Norwich, in her many visions, says she saw Christ most often as king reigning in the soul. She says, quote, "There he has fixed his resting place and his royal city, and out of this worshipful throne he shall never rise, nor move his dwelling place, for it is forever." So here we are again at the end of another year of hearing the story of Jesus' life, of being taught by him in parables and miracles, seen in his passion and resurrection. We are now ready to acclaim Christ, Jesus, as Lord and King of all. Today we celebrate with about 2 billion Christians throughout the world this holy day. Thanks to the love of God and the faith we have in his Son, strengthened also by the Holy Spirit, we give thanks for this inestimable benefit, as was said in the General Thanksgiving of older versions of the Book of Common Prayer. We have come to the end of another liturgical year, an appropriate time to observe our relationship with our Redeemer and Savior. The past year fades into history as we went about living, marrying, baptizing, burying, struggling and thriving, growing and rejoicing, caring and serving. We bring all of the past year's experiences to lay before the altar. It has been another year blessed by God's grace and providence. And as we see around the altar, the abundance of God's blessings. And we proclaim that his banner, his flag, is planted in us. You may recall when the first human stepped on and walked on the moon, he planted an American flag as a symbol of our presence. Neil Armstrong also received Holy Communion, that Jesus would be acknowledged and proclaimed even there on the moon. Can you visualize Christ planted and in residence in your life? That a flag of faith, hope, and love waves over your heart, soul, and mind. When Jesus was crucified, you may remember a plaque was placed on the cross above his head. The letters that look like I-N-R-I are above his head on most crucifixes. They stand for capital letters in Latin, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iudaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The Gospel of Luke points out that this moment of revelation, stumbled upon by his persecutors, proclaimed the truth. St. Paul also writes of the glory of Christ as the first of all, numero uno, above all, above everything, visible and invisible, he says, and indeed, also whatever forms of government, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. The question then is, when the King of Glory enters again into time and history, or personally comes to you or me, will he find planted in us his flag? Will he see that we are his and we belong to him, that he is dwelling, abiding in us, reigning, ruling, reminding, and guiding us? Remember that at baptism, you were marked as Christ's own forever with the sign of the cross traced upon your forehead. I think this flag allegory is a clever way of thinking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, an imaginary banner proudly waving within us. Bishop Lee's most much favored word is transformation, the process of becoming more and more Christ-like in ourselves and in our church. It means we put faith into action, not showy, not always successful, but definitely faithful. Jesus said, "It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns." It is the criterion by which we will be called into the everlasting kingdom of eternal life. Christ the King searches our motivation, the why we do what we do, helping each other to attain the safety and security which is our human right in a troubled world. He may be unseen, but he nevertheless sees our deeds and knows us. Whenever we sacrifice, give generously, reach out and help, we are doing what Christ would have us do. Our deeds are his deeds. We are his disciples, functioning as if the Lord himself were present. When the final curtain descends, the big winners will not be the power brokers, the movers and shakers who have the world by their tail, but rather those who cared simply and directly. Rabbi Martin Buber tells this Hasidic tale entitled Hide and Seek. The rabbi's grandson was once playing hide and seek with another boy. He hid himself and waited. He hid himself very well and waited for his playmate to find him. After he had waited for a long time, he came out of his hiding place, but the other boy was nowhere to be seen. Now the grandson realized that his friend had not even looked for him from the very beginning. That made him cry, and crying, he ran to his grandfather and complained of his faithless friend. Then, tears brimming in the rabbi's eyes, he said, "God says the same thing. I hide, but no one wants to seek me. I hide, but no one wants to seek me." We know that Jesus wants us to find him, to bring others to him, to plant his presence in the midst of our lives. Then we will be able to rejoice and give thanks that we are never alone. God in Christ, Emmanuel, the name of this parish, God in Christ, will be dwelling in the center of your life, the very core of your being. When the cosmic King and Judge returns in glory, he will claim us as his own. May we fling wide the banner and declare that God is here, God is with us, for in him and all things hold together. With him, we are able to do all things, always. Amen.